Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will spend some time highlighting the latest CEO macro briefing book for Q4. Joining us for the conversation today, one of the book's contributors, Paul Hsiao, asset allocation strategist for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, joining us once again here in studio here in New York. So, Paul, it's nice to be back with you here on the podcast. Thank you for dropping by.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be back.
So as pointed out, this is a quarterly update. Now, as we're heading into November, a lot of attention is being paid to the upcoming election coming at this point just 2 weeks away. So what should business owners, Paul, keep in mind about the election?
Absolutely. I feel like this has been the number one thing in mind for our business owner clients. Our Election Watch team, as part of CIO, actually came out with a client survey of UBS business owners, and I just want to highlight some of the results because I thought that was quite interesting. So more than 80% of our business owner clients think that the economy is the most important issue in mind. That's obviously great for a CIO team because that's what we spend the majority of our time on. And interestingly enough, there's a slight preference for business owners who prefer a Trump second term at 53%, whereas more investors actually prefer a Harris term. So I think that would be the difference between tax cuts and relative status quo. One is good for businesses, let's say, especially smaller businesses that have been put under strain, versus investors who prefer stability, and especially since we had the VIX rise higher in the second half of the year. But ultimately, I think for the takeaways for business owners that this is a very, very close election. So it's still very, very tight. Investors and businesses seem to have slightly different preferences. I think in terms of policies, I touched upon that business owners seem to prefer Trump's tax cuts, emphasis on deregulation when possible, which tends to be good for M&A deals. So that's on the positive side. On the negative side, some of the volatility that comes with policy as well as the tariffs are not great for businesses. But for Harris, it's similar where there is pros and cons. The pros are like a $50,000 tax credit that she touted, extensions of the current Biden program, such as the IRA, that have been helpful to some businesses, I think would be looked upon favorably by our business owner clients. But on the negative side, perhaps more regulatory scrutiny for M&A deals, and her proposals for a slightly higher corporate tax rate probably are not seen as favorable by our business owner clients. But at the end of the day, it's still a very close election. It depends what the makeup is in terms of divided versus unified government. So it's a nail biter going in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, looking very tight with, at this point, just a couple of weeks to go. And it is interesting to hear about some of the preferences when you think about business owners as well as investors when it comes to an outcome of Election Day. I do want to spend a few moments on the economy. More attention, Paul, has been paid on the significant cooling of the labor market. And then we did receive a surprise massive beat on the latest jobs numbers for the month of September. So how should businesses think about this mixed set of economic data?
I think we've been running in a pretty good economy right now, and that has been supported for risk assets. But confidence from business owners and consumers are still quite low. It's certainly much lower than you'd expect in an economy that's growing above trend and inflation that's running slightly faster than the Fed's target, but certainly not quite the 1970s level, and looks like it's trending even lower. So there's definitely the disconnect between what we're seeing in the economy and how business owners are feeling. I think part of that is reflected in the jobs numbers. We've had jobs openings slow down quite significantly, and it's definitely a step down in hiring. And for us investment watchers, we thought that it might be a little worrying, especially for policymakers at the Fed, because a weakening labor market tends to be a precursor of a recession. Mm-hmm. And people have been calling for a recession for the last 3 years, and that's certainly right. Something that we keep our eye on. But we just want to remind the viewers that we took a look at the average sort of recovery from recessions, And we're vastly outperforming what we did in 2007. And we're running pretty much on track what the average recovery looks like from 1950. And our current economic cycle is still quite young at around 54 months. The last time we had an economic cycle after the financial crisis, it was more than double of that. So there's no obvious signs that a recession is coming. But if a recession is coming, we're probably going to see it in the labor market first. The key indicator that me and my team are looking at is initial jobless claims, because that seems to lag unemployment rate for around 4 to 6 months. But that's still at pretty low levels, 2018, 2019 levels. And if you just say, you know, initial jobless claims quite low, the unemployment rate around 4%, I think we're still in a pretty good spot. And that's supportive of real income growth that will support the cycle going forward, in my view.
And we do have the upcoming October employment report ahead of the election, so that will definitely be one to watch out for. The Fed, it did commence its rate cutting cycle with 50 basis points back in September. So what is CIO's outlook for the rate cut trajectory from here, and how should business owners be feeling about this?
Yeah, I think this is really important, because for a lot of business owners, especially for smaller and medium-sized businesses, these higher levels of interest rates have been a really great headwind to business, to expanding their businesses, to getting the sort of financing opportunities that were available in lower interest rate environments. So we're really paying attention to what the Fed is doing. CIO believes that we'll have 100 basis points worth of rate cuts in 2024 and 2025. We've had this view for some time now, and it's remained unchanged. The 50 basis point cut, I think, was a surprise for some in the market. But it is in line with our expectations that we'll probably get 25 basis points in November and then 25 basis points in December. And I think it's a really high bar for the Fed to pause. Even with the one-off, in my view, one-off strong jobs, September jobs numbers, because the policy rates, I think, are recognized by policymakers as still in restrictive territory. There has been a cool down in the labor market, and I think the priorities, at least from my conclusion, from what Chair Powell has said, is really protecting the labor market, protecting the integrity of the cycle, and that's why we think that the Fed is on a cutting trajectory, 50 more basis points throughout the rest of the year, and then 100 basis points next year. And even if we get to 3.5% at the end of next year, that's still above many expectations of what the neutral rate is. So we're still a little bit restrictive. So that gives the Fed more optionality should the economy slow down more than expected.
So, Paul, at this point, we've covered outcome implications of the upcoming U.S. election. We spoke a bit about the economy, the labor market, and we just touched on the Fed for a bit. Given all of that, what should business owners expect from the markets and deal activity going forward?
Yeah, I think one of the differentiators that our view has versus some folks in other parts of the industry is that we remain actually quite optimistic going into 2025. The economy tends to do well when there's a rate cutting cycle, especially when it's accompanied by no recession. And there's no obvious signs of an incoming recession that we see. And we find the case for incoming rate cuts to be quite compelling. That tends to be a good environment for smaller business owners and those who are more interest rate sensitive. Parts of the market that have been a little disappointing this year has been deal-making activity, the private equity, IPOs to some extent, venture activity. We thought that they would have much more recovery given the expectations of rate cuts this year. We've seen some signs of that picking up this year. Mm-hmm. I know venture and IPO markets are still a little shy given the slight underperformance for some of the higher name IPOs this year. But private equity has come back, albeit slowly. And we think that there are risk clearing events in the next couple of months. Usually after the election, volatility goes down. Businesses start to feel a little more confident with more certainty in terms of the incoming administration. We'll have, I think there still is some question about what the Fed is going to do. I know that expectations for 2 rate cuts for the rest of the year have come down significantly over the last couple of weeks. So the Fed starts its 25 cut in November, as expected by us, and then 25 in December. I think that'd be a meaningful catalyst for more fundraising, more deal-making activity to pick up going into 2025. that should benefit our business owner clients.
Well, we will have a lot to talk about the next time we get together to talk about the Macro Briefing Book series. Though, Paul, thank you for dropping by the studio today to keep our listeners, our business owner clients in particular, informed on some of these important topics, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation next quarter.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you, Paul. Again, today we have been speaking with Paul Shao, Asset Allocation Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. I will point our listeners and their clients to the Q4 CEO Macro Briefing Book, which is available for you now up on UBS.com/CIO. For clients of UBS, be sure to reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy directly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.